But it is good to see all of you who are out with us today on this another wet day. We switch months, you think it would change. Of course, it's going to turn to snow, so I guess I shouldn't complain a whole lot. A couple of things before we begin the lesson this morning. There is an error in the bulletin. You probably won't recognize it, which would go to the point of, Gary, that lesson about do you remember? Because it's the exact same title as the last bulletin you got, because after I printed them off, I realized I didn't change the title. So that is, it's still by Brother Thetford, but that is the second one in a couple of ones he did, The Christian's Growth. Or not growth, it's already growth. The Christian's, now I can't remember the word. Devotion, there we go. The Christian's Devotion is the correct title of that bulletin. The second thing is, forgot to put a note in the bulletin, if you have any updates that you want in the printed bulletin for Sunday, I need those no later than Thursday night. Instead of Saturday at noon like normal, I need them no later than Thursday night. I will be leaving out of town Friday to be back sometime on Sunday. David will be preaching for us Sunday morning, and Lord willing, I'll preach Sunday night because we'll have a Sunday night service, Lord willing, and nothing happens. So, but David will preach for us Sunday morning while I'll be out of town. So anything for the bulletin that you want in the printed bulletin, I need by Thursday night. If you want it in the emailed part, that's fine. You can give it to me Sunday night because I'll email those out Monday morning like normal, like you've been getting. Our Wednesday night series begins this week. Brother Don McCaslin will be here. He's probably one of the only preachers that I'll invite that will be able to say that they've known me since I was born. Because the last time a preacher said that when I was in the audience, it made me feel old. And so I thought, well, Gary Kerr's not getting invited down to Rock if I have a say about it, because he's going to say the same thing in the sermon there. But no, Don has been the preacher at Humboldt since before I was born. So he was the preacher when my father obeyed the gospel. He was the preacher when my mother came back to the church. So our family and the McCaslin family are close. And so I'm looking forward to him and Janet being here Wednesday night. He'll be talking to us about Old Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Each of the speakers will be speaking on a different song, and what we've asked them to do is to look at the lyrics of the song and back them up with Scripture and look at the themes and the ideas in the song through Scripture so that we can better understand some of the things we sing and maybe better appreciate what we sing. And so what we've asked the song leaders, and so song leaders, this is what we're asking of you now, what we're asking of the song leaders, if you're leading the singing one of the Wednesday nights, is to lead the song that goes along with that lesson before the preacher gets up to do that lesson. So, and we'll just do the one song before the lesson. So after I'll do the announcements, we'll have a prayer, and then we'll do the one song, and then they'll get up and give their speech. If you have any questions on that, just get with me after services. We are continuing our spiritual wellness. We're not doing how well do you remember, because I still got to remember what to put in the lesson, but we're doing how well do you talk today as a continuation. As we said, every Sunday, first Sunday of the month, we will do a lesson on how well and in some aspect until we go through. This is a series that Mark Copeland did, adapted in some ways, maybe going to be some additions to it. But this week, we're doing how well do you talk? Our speech is something very important. Our speech can either build someone up or tear someone down. I think about the job that I had for the longest time. I started there as a volunteer when I was 10 years old. In December of I don't remember what year it was, but in December of that year, the boss got into me about something that she thought was my fault. And the things that were said still resonate with me today. And while when she found out she was in the wrong, she apologized for it, I still remembered those words, and it was a big part of why I left 2 months later and went to another job. Words have a large effect on people. And so we have to be careful what we say. We have to take our speech seriously, as Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 12, where Andy read for us. We're going to give account of what we say. And by our words, we'll either be justified or we'll be condemned. And so we have to be careful with what we say and how we talk and how we interact with each other. We ought to be very careful concerning what words we use. Because, ladies and gentlemen, once they've left your tongue, its damage is done. You can apologize, you can work on mending, you can work on building that trust, but the damage is done. It's imperative that we keep within God's standards in regards to our speech. Let's look at a few different types of talkers that we find in the Bible. First one will be found back in the book of Exodus. You don't have to turn there, because I know you all remember it from Paul's lessons in Exodus. In Exodus chapter 20, we know through the Ten Commandments that you're not to take the name of the Lord in vain. There are speakers who are irreverent in their speech. They don't give reverence to the name of God. They are without an attitude of sincere respect. And one can be guilty of this in a few ways. Using the Lord's name in vain. Using it in swearing or cursing. Using vain repetitions of His name carelessly, as if you're making His name common. It also applies to the name of Jesus, for His name is to be held in high honor, as Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. What happens when we're an irreverent speaker is we make God's name, we make things about God, part of our common speech, commonizing it, making it equal to our worldly ways. You talk about stuff heavenly. You talk about stuff being godly. We better be careful how we use those terms, because if we're equating them to the same words of our everyday language, then we're not giving proper respect to God. There's also some speakers that we find, and I'm sure you'll remember in the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, who speak words that are evil. There are evil talkers. A proverb writer talks about in Proverbs 6 verse 19, they will use lying words. They will lie for what they need. Paul talks about in Romans chapter 16 and verse 18, they will use deceitful words. They'll be deceptive in what they do. Paul writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians 5 and verse 4 that they will use filthy language. They speak things that are evil. Their speech is not watched. They're not careful with what they say. They don't really care what they say. They speak evil of others. In that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, one of the things that's described as those who were once apart from the kingdom of God, unless they were washed, sanctified, and cleansed, is 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 9 and 10, those who revile against God, revile against others. There are those in authority who speak evil about others. Exodus chapter 22. There are those who speak evil even around us. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 22, that we're to be careful what company we're keeping, who we're to be around. It's common in everyday speech. You turn on the television and you see all these evil words. You listen to just about any business person or politician. Their speech is seasoned with evil language, with rudeness. There are those who are careless with their words. James talks about them in James chapter 1 and verse 26 as one who speaks too often. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 19. They're speaking too much. They're not taking time to carefully consider what they're to say. They don't really care. As long as they're being heard, they're happy. And that's also those who speak too hastily. James again, chapter 1 and verse 19 in Proverbs 29:20. They're speaking so fast that no one can understand what they say, and they really don't care otherwise. I think about one of my professors at Tennessee Tech in Cookeville who taught calculus. And he was from Poland. He was hard to understand. His last name was something like Oblomowicz. We were to call him Dr. A. Dr. A would speak so fast you didn't know what he was saying. And then he'd ask if anyone had any questions while he's still writing on the chalkboard, because he refused to use anything other than a chalkboard, refusing to turn around and look at raised hands and say, "Good, let's go on." And that was about the only phrase you could make out is, "Good, let's go on." But he was smart and he knew it, and he didn't care if you could keep up or not. About 75% of my class was sitting in Mr. Rogers' calculus class the next semester. He just simply did not care. There are those who misuse words. Look over in Psalm, the 12th Psalm, Psalm 12. Psalm 12, verses 1 through 4. "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases to be. For the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak falsehood to one another. With flattering lips and with a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that speaks great things. Who have said, 'With our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us?'" There are those who use flattery to get their way. They speak eloquently. They speak with flattery. They speak with flattering words that they might lead others astray. You think about some of the great speakers of our time. They're not necessarily the best citizens, but they're eloquent of speech. They use flattery. They use good language. And so people just naturally follow right on after them because they like the way they talk. There are those who make rash oaths, as Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. Then there are those who use unwholesome words. That includes euphemisms. An inoffensive expression that's substituted for something that's normally derogative or offensive. What's wrong with euphemisms and expressions like that? It means the same thing. You're just trying to sound like you're not being offensive. But you're still being offensive. Because you're meaning the same exact thing. It's an attitude that is prevalent in our culture because we don't want to say the wrong word, so we'll say something that means similar. And it's an attitude that is contrary to how the Christian ought to conduct themselves, as Paul will talk about in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 through 32. And then finally, what we see in the script, just before we move on to the lesson, really, this is a long introduction, if you will, is those who are gracious in their speech. They speak with grace. Their speech leads to edification. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, they're encouraging and they're building up one another. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, they're extending grace to each other. It's speech that expresses thankfulness, which is befitting of a saint. Ephesians chapter 5, 3 through 4. It's an attitude of gratitude that befits the saints. You look in the book of Colossians, that's one of the central themes that Paul is talking about, is this attitude of gratitude for the saints. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7, chapter 3 and verse 15, chapter 3 and verse 17, chapter 4 and verse 2, are all along that line of gratitude in the book of Colossians. Paul talks about it frequently there. What's not befitting of saints is what Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, and that is complaint. Complaining. Gracious speech is something that is lacking today. You don't find it today. I know I've told it before, but I have one client who at the tax office who's divorced. I have several of them that are divorced. But this one points out in my mind particularly, because he speaks very nicely of his former spouse. And I told him that I appreciate that because it bothers me to hear the parents talk about their former spouse in one way, because you know if they're talking about him that way to a stranger, the children hear what's being said. And no parent should ever down the other parent in front of the child. And I told him, I said, you don't see this in divorced couples, especially. I said, and I have to thank you for acting that way. For talking with grace, really, in your speech. It's so uncommon that it's noticeable. It should be so common that it's what's expected, and the other is what's noticeable instead. So now that we've looked at some of the speakers in the Bible, how different ones speak, let's consider some reasons for the importance of our speech. Why is it important that we care how we speak? First and foremost, Andy read for us 33 down through 37. In verses 34 and 35, Jesus is talking about the fruit. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And speech reveals a sort of treasure that's stored in our heart. You think about situations where harsh words are said. What my mind always goes to is, if they were able to say it, that means they've thought it. When I mentioned that incident earlier with my boss, what happened with, to make the long story short, I took action because she was not there on time and we needed action taken, and it was my duty to take it with the most seniority. And when she called and told, she said, you think you're the boss, but you are not the boss. And then when she found out that she was 2 hours late, thinking she was on time, and really I was covering for her, getting everything taken care of, she apologized, but I never forgot that in her mind she thought in some ways that I thought I ruled the place. And that's why when the job offer came a couple weeks later, I took it. Words reveal what's in your inner heart. Words reveal what we're thinking and what our mindset is. And so we have to be careful of our speech, because we have to be careful because they reflect our heart. And so sometimes we have to fix our heart before we can fix our speech. Words often hurt others too. Lying and flattery can be destructive, as the proverb writer says in Proverbs 26 and verse 28. Gossiping creates strife and it destroys friendships. It just completely destroys a friendship. Proverbs 16 verses 27 and 28. Neighborly relations can be destroyed by words we say if we start talking about our neighbors in a certain way. Start downgrading them. Start bad-mouthing them in front of others. We will destroy our neighborly relations. And that's not just the person who lives next door to you. It's the people in the communities that you're friends with. Those are your neighbors. They can be destroyed. Proverbs 11 and verse 9. The tongue can indeed be both a destructive fire and a powerful poison. James describes it as such in James chapter 3. But also on the flip side, words can be a great blessing to others. Sometimes it can make you mad, but then you eventually appreciate it. There are some people who just know the right thing to say at the right time and can diffuse a situation. And sometimes we're ready to argue, so we get mad at that. But in hindsight, we're thankful for people like that who can diffuse a situation, who can bring some calmness back to the group. There are some who are blessed who are able to comfort those who are anxious, those who are struggling. They know the right thing to say. They know the right places to be. They're able to help in that situation. There are those who delight those around them because their speech is gracious. They build people up And it's just a delight to be around those people. And you know people like that. There are people that generally we like to be with because of how they are, because of their personality. There are those who offer grace to those around them. And all these people are found in the Bible. Those who cool down heated conversations, those who can diffuse a situation, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. Those who can comfort the anxious, Proverbs chapter 12, Proverbs chapter 16. Those who delight those who are around them, Proverbs chapter 15. Those who offer grace to everyone around, Ephesians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 4. They're found in the Bible. And so those same type people can be us today. We have to use our speech the right way. Are we using our speech to down others, or are we using it to build them up? We have to be careful how we use our tongue. And so for the little bit of time we have left this morning, I want to look with you at four steps to improving our speech. Four practical steps to improving our speech. First one would be to guard our heart. Since what we say comes from our heart, we need to guard it. Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 and 35, again, part of that says, "For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks." If I'm speaking out of my heart, then I have to guard it to only let the proper things in. Proverb writer says in Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 23, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Proverbs chapter 16, verse 23, "The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips." Our heart is the most important possession we have. We need to guard it. We need to protect it. We need to only let in what is good and profitable for us and for others. As what's often said today, garbage in, garbage out. We have to be careful what we allow into our heart. Secondly, we need to not only guard our heart, but sometimes we need to guard our lips. Just because we have problems with our heart that we're working on doesn't give us the right to still say hurtful things. We need to guard our lips. You heard probably your parents say the old saying, "If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all." Folks, I'm serious. You don't have anything nice to say, keep your mouth shut. Until you can work on your heart to where you have something nice to say. Because the damage you could do could destroy lifelong friendships. I think about a situation I know of where, as the husband said to me, "My wife is about to ruin a 40-year friendship. Because she feels like she has to say it. And what she's going to say is not right." We can bring massive destruction if we're not careful with what we say. So we've got to guard our lips. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 3, "He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have his destruction." Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23, "Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles." Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth." We have to guard that tongue, guard our lips, not let anything get out that would be harmful. Thirdly, we need to think before we speak. We need to give good thought to what we're going to say. Again, the Proverb writer says in Proverbs chapter 15 and in verse 28, "The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil." Sometimes we just don't need to say anything until we've taken a moment to think about it. Sometimes in situations we're going so quickly that we just blurt out whatever's on our mind. And that's the time we get into trouble the most. we need to be careful and think about what we're going to say before we say it. Napoleon Hill gave this quote one time, "Think twice before you speak, because your words and influence will plant the seed of either success or failure in another's mind." Rainbow Jangle said, "Think before you speak, you might need to remember what you said." Sometimes we speak so fast, just like that, that then we realize, what in the world did I just say? And then finally, we need to pray about our speech. Psalmist says in Psalm 141, verse 30, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Psalm 19 and verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." We need to pray that the Lord will help us speak with grace and kindness to others. Sometimes when we're dealing with a tough situation, we know we have to confront it. What I'm saying this morning is not when there's trouble, when there's error, that we just need to keep our mouths quiet. Folks, if there's trouble, we have the responsibility to confront it. But sometimes we need to pray first. Lord, help me say the right things. Help me be the right people. Sometime when someone's struggling, we can do a lot of damage with what we say. People who go through depression, people who go through struggles with addiction, people who are just having a hard time because of a situation, maybe in their family, maybe at work, maybe in their health. Sometimes the things we say can be worse than what they're going through. One of the worst things we can tell somebody is they just need to get over it. It's time for you to just move on. We need to be careful. We need to pray to God for understanding. Sometimes we've been in the situation they're in, and so we can speak from experience. Sometimes we've never been there, and we'll be quick to judge and quick to say something without realizing the ramifications of it. And so if we know someone who's struggling and we're planning on encouraging them, before we do it, let's pray to God and ask for guidance in saying the right things and being the right people. We should never forget the power of speech. Just as quickly as it'll hurt others and hurt ourselves, it can bless others and bless ourselves. Do you know who gets to decide which way you go? Yourself. You get to determine, am I going to use my speech to build someone up, or am I going to use it to tear them down? As we examine how our spiritual life is, as we examine how well do we hear, how well do we read, how well do we pray, and how well do we sing, we need to examine how well do I talk. I want to read again Psalm 19 verse 14 in the lesson drawers. The prayer of David was, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." If you're here this morning and you need to obey the gospel, or maybe you need to make your life right with God, one of the greatest things you can use your mouth to do is to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that you recognize that you need to obey His gospel call. Another great thing we can use our mouth to do is to ask for prayers and for encouragement and forgiveness. God's willing to forgive, and we as His people need to recognize that and need to strive to help others. So if you need prayers, if you need encouragement, if you need to make your life right with God, won't you come forward now as we stand and as we sing the song that's been selected.